Coming up on TMS, PM. Some like it hot, and so do I.
Zookeepers are going prat.
Trump is paying off plants.
Pre-order your Fallout with bottle caps.
Tatum has a name for little Tatum.
Ep time.
Your questions and more on this episode of The Morning Stream PM.
This is The Morning Stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM, the Morning Stream PM edition for Thursday, the June 18th of 2015. If you're hearing this on Friday, it was yesterday. And we do it because you support us at patreon.com/TMS. That's why this even exists. So if you'd like to see it stay, keep on supporting us. And add your support if you haven't already. Yeah, if you've sat back going, you know, I really should. Consider it. And if you don't like it, well, that's okay too. But we'd really love it if you did. Brian Ibbett over there. Hi, Brian.
Well, hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm not bad. I'm having a good day, and here's why. I'd like to explain to you why today is a good day for me. Today is a good day because it is 100 degrees outside. And
wow.
I love that. I'm a huge fan of the dry heat. So even though Utah's famous for having all four seasons in all their glory, summers can sometimes get a little warm. It's a little surprising to hit 100 as early as June. Global warming and all that, I suppose. I don't know. But I went out and jogged in it, and I wore a black long sleeve shirt in it.
You are crazy, man.
And I loved every second of it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened. What something changed a couple years ago where suddenly I love the heat and I can't get enough of the outside heat. So this is my time of year, I guess. I'm all into it when I... You know, go to Vegas next. I hope it's in the hot heat of the summer. I don't want to go anywhere humid because humid's gross. But hot desert heat, no problem. Put me in Death Valley, great. Arizona, no problem. Let's go. Like, that's good for me. I like it. But you don't like that. You're not big on the heat.
I'm not big on the heat. I mean, I certainly like it compared to the cold and all the snow that we get here in Colorado. You guys get that in Salt Lake City, of course, as well.
Sure.
And I would suggest that you come out to Vegas when I'm going to be out in Vegas for the Trivia Championships of North America.
When is that?
However,
August? Is that August?
No. It's the weekend right after NERTAC.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guess what I won't be going to this year? I was hoping you'd say August. I guess it is August. It's just August.
It's going to be August. It's going to be the first weekend in August.
God damn it. I wish it was the last weekend of August. Well, we'll
see. You know, you'll be ready, though. You'll be ready for something after Nertacular. Like, you know, I just want to get away for a little while.
Yeah, that's true,
I guess. And go to Vegas. And
maybe. Feel the heat.
That's right. Have some delicious food with me.
Yeah.
And Chino Poblano at the Cosmopolitan.
Sure. Yeah. A little 110 degree on the strip heat with some real sweaty mascots. Sounds pretty good.
Oh, my God. The Minions. Probably smells like hell inside those Minion costumes in August.
Dude, I know how bad these people smell. Listen. Those people smell bad. The flick, mm-hmm. The card flickers.
Right.
Watch out for
those guys smell bad on the outside.
All right. Well, we're here to do a show, and everybody is on pins and needles, maybe. I probably don't care at all, but want to know what we're doing next week. So Brian will be in Japan. He and I will do some off-the-cuff stuff that we'll put on the feed for days that there isn't a show. It'll obviously be very different. It'll be a lot of sort of let's check in with Brian, see what's going on in the world of Japan. What has he seen today? That kind of stuff. Little catch-up episodes. Those will not be live. Those will be things we do and put up on the archive. However, next Tuesday, that's right, Tuesday, mm-hmm. Brian will still be in Japan. I will be doing a full Tuesday show with Justin Robert Young. And we'll even have Chin Beard come on as a guest.
That guy's been bucking for my job.
I know. This is his chance. He's really going to try to weasel his way in. I mean, remember last time him and Bill tried to do that while we were gone, and Bill and him made a show, but Jerry was only in the left ear, and
that's right.
Bill was real quiet. Yeah, it was real bad. So he's not ready for prime time, but he will be my co-host that day. So
it's like the two of them have never done podcasts before or something.
I know. But we, whatever, we're the crack production team too. So, you know, despite our occasional lag issues with Skype, we do a pretty damn good job on production. So they'll be here. That'll be a Tuesday show, all kind of normal except different co-host. And that's what you can expect next week. And the rest of the week, I'm going to take my wife's advice, take my mornings off, chill a little bit, go to breakfast with the kids, try to take a little time off, which I never do. So
very there, cool. So that. So June 23rd at 9 a.m. I want to find out actually what time that's going to be in Tokyo, because how awesome would it be if I could Skype in then?
Hell yeah, dude. So let's see. What?
Boy, I'm sure we wouldn't have any lag then, right?
In Japan. It might not be too bad. Like I talked to, you know, we talk to people in Asia all the time and they're okay. I think you should be fine depending on your connection.
I think totally should be. Yeah. According to...
It's 7:38 a.m. there right now. So it's GMT plus 9. So now 9 hours ahead of mountain. So what is that?
Right. It'll be 3 p.m. In Tokyo when you guys are doing that.
We could totally do that. So what we'll do is we'll leave it open. You just ping me. You just let me know. You just send me an iMessage or a Skype ping and say, I'm here, and then we'll do it.
This is all going to depend. That's the day that we're going to go out and see Mount Fuji. So we're doing a tour that takes us out to Mount Fuji. We climb a little bit. We get some food, and then we take the bullet train back.
Oh, cool.
So depending on what kind of connection I can get, I'll see if I can make that happen. It might not work. I might have to just give you something recorded to play.
If you play, yeah, you could record some stuff. That's true. But if you are on the bullet train and the bullet train offers Wi-Fi, that'd be a fun thing to experiment with, wouldn't it?
That would be fantastic, right? Oh my God. Podcasting from the bullet train?
I can't even imagine that. They can't do that, right?
No kidding.
They don't do that. They can't. It's not like JetBlue.
If they can offer Wi-Fi on a plane, they can offer it on a bullet train.
That's a good point, because you're moving slower than a plane, even on a bullet train.
Right.
So, yeah.
Check it out. They do offer, according to this, bullet trains offer Wi-Fi services. It's not free. It's pricey. It requires a protracted Japanese sign-up process and is not as flexible as the mobile internet solutions you can use anywhere. Maybe I won't.
Maybe you won't. That sounds kind of daunting.
It does. It's going to be $25 for me to call in for 2 minutes and talk to you in jury.
Maybe they offer bullet train, speedy, fast lady walking on your back massage. Maybe that'll happen for you.
Oh, there we go. Now that I can get behind.
We still have a name for it.
Under?
Yeah, karaoke, or what do they call it? Bukkake? What is it? What's the name of it?
Okay, it's definitely not that.
This train offers a full suite of bukkake services. All right.
Which is the bukkake car?
Oh gosh. Just so I can avoid it. I don't want to go near it.
That's right.
Anyway, jury for Tuesday and Brian for Japan, and the rest of the week I'm going to take a little time off, and we'll be back bright and shiny the following week as we hurtle ever closer to Nerdtacular and seeing all three of those names in one place. Talked to Chris Metzen today and he's so excited. I'm so excited he's coming and he's so excited. Cannot wait for him to come. Anyway, it's all going well.
That's
going
to be awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna go great. And the Kickstarter, quick Kickstarter update for the MyExtraLife.com Definitive Edition book is near complete. In fact, I think we may launch that before Brian even gets home.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, which is a little weird since we have a show to pimp it, but that's okay. I think people will be paying attention. Very excited about it. The video's done and uploaded. We're just tweaking out some of the reward stuff, some of the unlocks, and boom, we have a finished project, and then I can stress for 30 days like a madman.
You'll have 30 days to pimp it after you start it, so yeah. That will overlap with some with some TMS, I'm sure.
No, I'm absolutely sure of that, and it'll be,
You should time it so that the last day is the first day of Nerdtacular.
That's not bad.
That you could easily do that. It might actually work out to be like that.
Yeah, it might actually by the time I start it. So who knows? We may try something.
Oh, that'd be cool. And then we do a live countdown during Nerdtacular. And
it would only suck if we didn't fund.
Oh, it's going to fund. Are you kidding me?
Countdown to sadness. Well, I mean, you know how these things, you've done a few now. You know how this feels. Yeah. It's like, oh, shite. Are we going to make it? You know, that whole feeling. I hate the feeling. I mean, unless I hit it all in one day. There's two fears. Either you're not going to hit it at all. The three fears. You're not going to hit it at all. You're going to barely hit it, and you were hoping for more because you can't afford it to do it without it. Or third fear is it goes bonkers, and you're inundated and destroyed logistically to the point that it doesn't matter how much money it made. All of it's going to go to fulfilling everything, and you're going to lose money in the end and time. Yes. So there's those three possibilities. What I'm really hoping is just for some kind of happy medium, and I don't know what to expect. So time will tell.
Okay.
Also, now we'll tell. The news. Oh, that didn't work. That's the wrong one.
Radio today is different. powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the news, evening news, brought to you by...
This week on Tell It Anyway, what better way to celebrate episode 15 than with three stories of betrayal, featuring workplace skullduggery, disappointing your grandma, and of course, the woes of long-distance love in a time of national electoral turmoil. Wow. All that and so much more at tellitanyway.com.
Disappointing your grandma would be a great band name. Wouldn't it?
It would, yes.
I would go see DYG live in concert. All right, well,
who's opening for Less Than Jake? Disappointing your grandma. Oh, they're awesome.
They're so good. I love that one where you walked around her house naked and grandma freaked out.
Saddest merch table ever, oh. But the band is awesome.
Yeah, don't forget our merch table. Everyone always does. Zookeepers are hilariously recreating Chris Pratt's raptor training scene from Jurassic World.
So good.
This is happening. Help, it's happening. And they're doing it with various animals. My favorite is probably this one with the walruses. That looks pretty good.
I like the one with the ring-tailed lemurs.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, look at those guys. One of them looks like she's force pushing the dolphins. It doesn't look like she's training them. I think you need to put your hands out to make it fully effect. Now there's a guy doing three rhinos near the bottom. Mm-hmm. That's actually pretty impressive because
it looks photoshopped, doesn't it? I mean,
kind of.
Like he's been photoshopped into the scene, even though I'm sure he hasn't. I'm sure that's just a.
The turtle one's pretty good. Also, I would not put myself in that place with those birds, those freaking
like emus.
Oh, they'll kill you, dude! They'll pick your face off.
Yeah.
This makes me want to find three dogs and do this.
Yeah, the penguins is great.
Yeah, it's all good. Like, way to go, zoo people! This is amazing.
Yeah,
that's really great. Also, the comments are stupid. Like, hey, those turtles shouldn't be together. There's a rule that turtles are lonely animals. If you put them in threes, they're gonna get nervous and shut up.
Seriously?
Yes. I hate Facebook. As Facebook comments, I hate them. I hate them. I like Facebook for what it does for me, but I cannot stand the cesspool that sometimes is Facebook. You can't post anything, dude. Mm-hmm. You could post a picture of a wart on your knee, and people would tell you how you're Satan and you're going to die. Donald Trump back in the news.
Oh, again? Jeez.
Well, he was just on the news this morning, so...
That's right.
Let's see what's going on here.
Has he gotten Oprah yet? Has Oprah signed off on this?
I'm pretty sure she said no, but she volunteered that... Stedman guy in her place. So her longstanding boyfriend, right. Stedman.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a suitable substitute.
Yeah. Looking more like, what's his name? I can't think of his name. I only knew Andy Dufresne for the first day. What's his name? Morgan Freeman. He looks more like Morgan Freeman every day. Stedman does.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it Stedman Graham? Is that his name?
Stedman Graham. There it is.
Oh, he doesn't look like Morgan Freeman.
Well, let's do an image, sir. Oh, no, you're wrong. I'm wrong. I'm thinking of the wrong guy's face. Yeah, that's not him.
He looks like he either needs to dye his hair or his mustache. Yeah. He needs to pick one.
They're still together, right? They're still a thing?
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, good for Stedman. Oh, he's a handsome mustache-wearing guy.
I think that mustache is fake.
You don't think it's real?
I don't think it's real.
I think it might be colored.
Well. Don't use that term.
Oh, shoot. Sorry. It might be... It might be dyed, is what I meant.
I think he needs to, like I was saying, he needs to either dye his hair or the mustache. Either dye the mustache gray or dye the hair black, but...
Wow. The most popular search for Oprah is Oprah kissing.
Oh, really?
What the hell's that about? All right, whatever. Huh. Anyway, zookeeper. No, no, no.
You get a kiss. You get a kiss.
Donald Trump. There's one under everyone's chair. Kissing your ass. Donald Trump's campaign offered actors $50 each to cheer for him at a presidential announcement.
Wow, that's huge.
That's huge. Announced on Tuesday, let's see, but they were all paid actors. They paid him $50 a pop. That's kind of cheap for Mr. Billionaire over there.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how many cheerers he needed.
Well, what if you paid me to just go whoop and that was it? Okay, fine, give me $50. But if you want me to go whoop, you better give me like 200 men.
And a meal.
Right. At Trump Towers. Soup. Yeah, at the Trump casino. I want a free buffet.
I want a buffet. Yep. At the Trump Casino. Yep. I want $100, $200 of spending cash.
Yep. This is totally what I would do. We are looking to cast people for the event to wear T-shirts and carry signs and cheer in support of his acknowledgement, reads the June 12th email obtained by a Hollywood reporter. We understand this is not a traditional background job. We believe acting comes in all forms, and this is inclusive of that school of thought. Yeah, if it was, you wouldn't have to explain it.
Right.
That's the big... Listen, Trump's kind of a wiener. Everything involved in this is wienery. That last bit from the agency trying to find actors, that's the wieneriest.
That is the super wieneriest.
That, yes, to me says everything you need to know about the way Hollywood works at all the lower levels. If you're not Brad Pitt, this is the shit you deal with.
It's the text equivalent of, stay with me.
Yeah, stay with me. Just so you know. Yeah, if you have to say that, then you've proved... Ugh, it's so dishonest. I hate it stuff really like that. Statements like that. And I know I do it occasionally. I'll say, now, I don't want to offend any, but... You know, if you say, I don't want to offend someone, but... You're going to offend someone. So I'm even going to stop doing it. I'm going to stop prefacing things. I'm just going to say it out loud. There.
There's nothing that ever comes after the phrase, this may sound racist, that but, isn't racist.
Yeah, it never does.
Don't be offended by this.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be offended by this.
I mean, sometimes I've said, now remember, I have Korean siblings, so what I'm about to say, well, it's, yeah.
Right.
It's still offensive.
Yeah.
Pre-orders from fans for Fallout 4. Let me put it this way, Brian. When that game comes out in November, you can't buy it with 2,000 bottle caps.
What?
Yeah, as it turns out. A Fallout fan has figured this out himself. He recently tried to pre-order Bethesda's big open world game using 2,000 bottle caps. He's amassed an estimated 2,240 bottle caps, over 11 pounds. He said he had full intention of covering the pre-order cost of Fallout's iconic game with this legal tender in his mind. It's not obvious, he says. I'm a pretty big fan of the series. Or if it's not obvious, I'm a pretty big fan of the series, Gator said in a letter to developer Bethesda. Needless to say, I got pretty excited when I started seeing more and more about Fallout 4. I've also noticed that you're now accepting pre-orders. I saw the price listed for pre-order dollars. I wasn't exactly sure what the exchange rate is these days, so I went ahead and sent everything I've been able to get so far since playing Fallout 3 for the first time. Using my bathroom scale and a number I found on Wikipedia, I'm thinking this is somewhere in the range of 2,240 caps. That ought to cover it, right? Still waiting for comment from Bethesda. If I was Bethesda, I would totally accept it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, but, and you very carefully word the statement to say, this is awesome. We're going to do this once.
Yep.
Just for you, yep. And this is so cool, and we're not going to do this for anybody else. The fact that he's been collecting them for 7.5 years.
Yeah, it's great.
That's insane. I mean, it's almost like he's saying, oh, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a Fallout 4, and I'm just going to start collecting bottle caps now.
Yeah, I hardly can blame him. I think it's a really cool idea. I really hope they do that, but they do have to lay down the law, don't they? They can't just start accepting these willy-nilly because somebody somewhere, like at a Coke plant, is going to cheat.
You know what? Oh, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to start saving up for the next WoW expansion, and I'm going to send them a box with Mancrick's wife in it.
I thought you were going to go with tokens somehow, but that's even better. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what other weird currencies are in games? Like, it'd be really hard to do it for the Metro series because those games, the currency in those games are bullets. Mm-hmm. And the better bullets you get, or the more they're worth in the game. You wouldn't really want to collect bullets.
No, you wouldn't want to do that.
That seems like you'd open yourself up for litigiousness.
This is a great crowdsourcing question for Cleo at some point.
Yeah.
What video game? Like, all right, you're gonna send a box of mushrooms to Nintendo to get the next Super Mario game.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Oh, except they use. I guess they Mario coins, likes I coins. Guess. I guess right.
Yeah. So you're gonna be to the letter whatever the in-game currency is. You're gonna stick with that.
Yeah. Or if it's Sonic the Hedgehog, golden rings. But if anyone touches you on the way there, you explode and they go everywhere.
It's a guy carefully carrying a box to the post office. Yeah. Whoa.
And if someone touches you, it goes bling, 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 and then you have to hurry and pick them up again, or else they'll disappear. They'll blink out.
They start flashing.
Yeah, that's really I love good. It.
You could probably do shower curtain rings. I bet you Sega would be totally
that'd
all
be
all
right.
That.
And by the way, that dumb Sega, or that dumb Sonic joke is better than all the last five Sonic games to come out combined. So there you go. You're welcome.
This is true.
Final news, Channing Tatum. He's the ladies like Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Mike.
LL Chan Tate.
Chan Tate. LL Chan Tate.
LL Chan Tate. I like what they say.
Yeah. It sounds dirty. Well, let's see if this sounds dirty. He apparently is refers to his penis, his man wiener, as Gilbert.
Does it go Affleck?
I saw that coming before you did it. That's really funny. Channing Tatum calls who has a 2-year-old daughter, Everly, with his wife, Jenna Dwan Tatum. Admits he has an unusual moniker for his manhood. He didn't explain the reason behind the nickname, but he did tell us. He says, asked what he calls his unit, he simply replied, Gilbert. The hunky actor admitted he enjoys leaving fans sexually frustrated. Responding to the question, do you enjoy making millions of people sexually frustrated on a daily basis? During a Reddit Q&A, he replied, if that's actually true, then yes. The 35-year-old actor is unsure why people think he is so good-looking, but he's grateful that he has attractive parents. Asked why he's so attractive, he said, I don't know. I wish I could come up with something funny for this answer. My mom is beautiful, and my dad doesn't suck either. So there you go. I like his attitude.
Happy Father's Day. Yep. You don't suck.
I like his attitude. He's pretty, you know, the guy's pretty chill.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Pretty chill dude.
That last part redeems him for the fact that he's named his penis.
Yeah.
I think that if you name your penis,
I don't like that. It's a weird.
If you give it a name, I think you've got issues.
I kind of agree. I would never even consider it.
When did
it.
You use that name?
Yeah, never. It's like, how you doing there, Larry?
Oh, come on, Gilbert. Come on. Don't be shy. We got to pee. We got to get before fans find out I'm in the bathroom here. Come on, Gilbert.
Ah, my Gilbert hurts. Like I can't. I'm not doing that.
I'll write in the Gilbert.
Write in the Gilbert. Well, there you go.
The grapes.
I assume that's his whole. All of his junk is Gilbert. I don't think he's separated it out. There you go. There's your news. We're going to take a song break. When we come back, we have apps to recommend. We like doing app time when we don't have Dan on, which is every other week. So we're doing that today. And we answer your Twitter questions. The hashtag AskTMS is the one to use.
Twitter questions,
which will come up shortly. Before that, though, Brian brought some evening music.
Oh, evening music. Yeah. It's also... so romantic. Mm. David wrote in and said, hey, Shredder and Baxter Stockman. I've been a TMS listener since the first episode. I'm sending in a request for many different occasions on different days, but the day I'm requesting, this is a special trip. My wife, myself, and some friends are heading to Chicago, Illinois for the My Little Pony Fair. I'm not a brony, but my wife and her friend have been collectors since they were children.
Cool.
Are they in for some sad times then? I mean, you know, there's going to be like 25% people who've been collecting since they were children. 75% bronies.
Yeah, the older three-fourths are going to be guys in pony suits looking for a hookup. Right. Good luck.
I'm asking for the request for June 24th because we'll be driving to Chicago from Hines, Minnesota on the 25th and need something to listen to. This request isn't about the trip, though. I've wanted to send in a request for a while and haven't done it until today. This request is for my wife. We'll be celebrating our 7th wedding anniversary on August 16th, and she'll be celebrating her birthday on August 8th. I would like a cover of Everything I Do by Bryan Adams, which was our first dance, or another play of Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
God damn it. I need to have that handy when they ask for this. Hold on. Here it is.
Page one.
I got to find
it. The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
There you go.
Go. Thanks for everything you do. Emotion affecting pageant nevertheless. I used thesaurus.com and used first results for each word and love the show though.
Nice.
David, aka Weimaroy, when able to get into the tadpole.
Is that Weimaroy Ray? Oh no, it's a different song. Never mind.
Yeah, I know what you're doing.
It's not Weimaroy. That. Yeah. Weimaroy. That's not it. Damn it.
Very good. So Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams. Surprised we haven't played this version on the show. Maybe we have, but it was before I started keeping track. This is A Newfound Glory, and they recorded this for the first of a couple EPs called From the Screen to Your Stereo, where they did covers of popular movie themes. Nice. This was Robin Hood, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was totally Robin Hood, yep.
Yeah. Costner Hood.
Mm-hmm. Costner Hood and Alan Rickman Hood, all that.
Yes. Oh, yes. Alan Rickman. 2004 is when this cover came out. It is A Newfound Glory. Everything I do, in parentheses, I do it for you.
Look into my eyes and you will see.
That is a very different version of that song, for sure.
Yes, it is.
Miss Bryan Adams, though, you know? Is he still working, Bryan Adams? Still do things, songs?
Sure, yeah. Released a great cover album last year, I believe it was, called The Tracks of My Years, and it was all covers of songs that inspired him growing up.
Oh, well, there you have it, then.
Starting in the summer of 69, I think it was, yeah.
Whoa. All right, well, let's do a little app review, and let's have some nostalgia while we do it.
App Slappy.
Yeah, one day App Slappy may come back. Eric's got to be less busy, and so do I. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Busy people, us too. All right, let's get to it here. Let's get to it. We both have apps that we've been messing with. I have been playing with a game, and it's called You Must Build a Boat. And if it sounds weird or dumb or whatever, just listen up, because here's how it's rad. Right. I don't know where my phone went.
I already love the name of it. You Must Build a Boat.
It's great. Did you ever play 1 Million? That game called 1
is
Million?
Is that the one with the dots that increase in size?
No, although that's... What's that?
Oh, that's 100.
So, yeah, that's 100.
It's not as good as 1 Million.
A few more zeros. No, this one 1 Million was this weird... Okay, I don't know how to explain this, but it was a match 3 game. But it was non-traditional match 3 where it's not moving a gem from one slot to another and having a match with the two over there. Mm-hmm. It was moving the entire row or column over, shifting that over to match the one. So if you move a gem over to match, the whole thing shifts with you.
The whole row moves with it. Okay.
Right. You understand the way those work. It's kind of there's other games that use those mechanics, but it's all very 8-bit, all very retro. And at the top, you have this little dude who's running across the board, and as he encounters things, you fight them.
A puzzle quest kind of mechanic.
Kind of, yeah, but you've got to hurry up and do it because slowly he's being pushed off the screen, and eventually if he gets pushed off, you lose. So it's a little intense.
Oh, awesome.
It's a little intense. That was 1 Million. Same developer now has a game called You Must Build a Boat. And it's essentially, it may as well be a sequel. I'm not sure why they called it You Must Build a Boat. Maybe 1 Million was hard for people to remember or something. Mm-hmm. But you're trying to build a boat, and to do that, you're taking on these missions that are essentially like the old 1 Million game. The big difference is you can match things in between. You used to be able to make a move, and then you had to wait for stuff to happen, and then you could make a move. Now you can just keep making moves. That turns out to make a huge difference in how much fun that game is. But you're trying to kill stuff. You're trying to open chests. You're trying to unlock abilities and powers. It's a pay-for game, so it's like $2.99 or something. Hmm. I'm always happy to pay for games like that. Not a problem. I hate free-to-play most of the time. It depends on the game.
Right.
But that's a game I think is worth paying for. It's got great music, really, really just weird, psycho, kind of weird pseudo-story happening. There's upgrades between matches. You sleep on a boat. You got to build a boat. It's hard to explain.
Well, hence the name, yeah.
It's an odd thing, but it's great pick-up and play. Just perfect for the platform, and I really like it. And I'm pretty sure it's on Android Play as well, or on Google Play. I better check on that, but... I'll find that before we're done, or someone in the chat will confirm. Anyway, really, really well done, and I would probably give it a, I don't know, if we're doing like, let's say we're doing a 5-star system here, Brian, I'd give that a solid 4.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, cool.
I think it's very, very good.
Awesome.
So go check it out. Okay, what do you got going?
Well, I'm not going to do a game for a change.
Whoa.
Usually I'm all about the games, but no, this time it's a very useful utility, and I don't know if you know this, Scott, but I'm... going to be going on vacation.
I heard something about the Orient.
The Orient. I am headed to the Orient.
People like that
to trade rugs.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But we've got somebody coming here to do some house sitting, but you know, maybe I want a little bit of extra security. Maybe I want to check up on them.
Because, sure.
You know, you don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I've got things all sitting around the house.
Lots of phones.
Old iPhones,
yeah.
And old iPads,
yeah.
that are beyond hand-me-down level.
Right. Like a 3GS and 4S and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. But as long as it's got a camera on it, you can use it with this app called Presence. Mm. And no, it's not the Led Zeppelin little sculpture thing. Mm-hmm. Although I need to 3D print one of those. Toot sweet. No, it is an app that allows you to use your older iPhones, your older iPod Touches as security cameras. And this is so cool. You just set it up, you install this app, you buy it once, and then you install the app on all your devices, and you can instantly go to those phones and turn them on. And what's really cool is that the screen dims while it's doing its little camera deal.
Oh, so you could get a lot longer battery life out of that just sitting there.
You can get a lot longer battery life, or you can even just leave it plugged in and let it be charging while it's running.
Right, right.
So, you know, the people who are the person who's house sitting for us, I don't think they need to be down here at my computer, right?
Right. I completely agree with that.
I'd prefer they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. I mean, they have a computer. They're going to be bringing their laptop, but. Who knows? Maybe they're going to like hop on here. Maybe they need to help me out with something. But I've got a little camera set up here so that if there's any movement, I can it'll automatically trigger a message to me and it'll even start recording if I want it to.
Nice. So this is a lot like, I mean, there are plenty of webcam apps that do this, something similar to this, but what a great way to repurpose old devices. That's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, You've got all these things sitting around, might as well put them to work.
Plus you can park them in places like here's one in the bookshelf. No one can see. Or,
exactly. Yeah. As long as you've got a power cord that can get over to it, then it'll work indefinitely. And the fact that the screen is dim, you won't get like, what's that glowing light behind the books?
Yeah, That's important. And also, like, if you did have to run it on battery, and let's say you're just going out for the night or you're gone for the weekend, a charge would last probably that long anyway.
Probably would, yeah.
Yeah, that's sure. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
So, yeah, I'm thinking, and Teketsune has probably hit the nail on the head. The cat does like this area, and so I think I'm going to get a lot of little pictures and videos of the cat hopping up on the desk and and chewing a cable and then hopping down. Yeah, and
taking a big cat shit right in your 3D printer.
That's right. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Actually, they can. I've got, I made little plexiglass. I 3D printed little plexiglass holders.
Oh, really?
Half of the things I've 3D printed, by the way, are things for the 3D printer.
I think that's awesome.
Spool holders, yeah. And I have an LED system in there now so that I can see what it's printing a lot better, because usually the light is coming down over the extruder, and so
all the stuff
shades.
It should have come with, your main,
things it should have come with, yeah. But then I also did little plexiglass holders to maintain a consistent temperature and also keeps it a little bit quieter. But anyway, okay, the app is called Presence.
Yeah.
Presence. I know it's available for iOS. I don't know if it's available for Android as well, but it's totally worth it. And they even offer like motorized app controlled stands that you can put your phone on if you want to be able to control it pivoting around and things like that. It's really, really cool.
That's cool. How much again? What's the price?
It's free download, and for a pro license, like the base pro license, there's a couple different licenses you can do. If you just want 7 days of it, it's $1.99. Mm. If you want video but not recording, I think it's $4.99. And then if you want everything, so it records video, posts it to the cloud, all that stuff, it's $49.99. But it's a one-time purchase, so you've got it forever.
All right. That sounds all right.
And that you can put it on every single device you own. And as you outgrow each new device, you have a new camera. You can station these puppies all over the place.
iPad would work as well, right?
Yep.
iPhone,
actually,
iPod.
The one I'm using here in my office is from an iPad 2.
iPad 2, iPhone, iPod, everything. Mm-hmm. And maybe
everything.
Is that an Android thing too? Don't know.
That I don't know. Hmm. I don't know.
Could be. Somebody
here.
Somebody look
into that. Presence, Android.
Presence. I got to write
this
down.
It is. Yes, it's available on Android as well.
Oh, well, look at that. You can have all your devices. It doesn't care.
Right.
It doesn't pick sides.
And you probably, I bet you could even use them interchangeably.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, they have a link to it as well.
Yeah,
because
it's all done via a link on the web. So
yeah, you just have a Nexus 7 downstairs and an iPhone upstairs, and yeah, who cares? That's great.
Exactly.
Very nice. Well, thus endeth our app review, and now we launch directly into something we like to refer to as this.
The news tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
That guy on Twitter lied.
Follow me on Twitter.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
This is my favorite thing.
It's really great. Yeah. You guys send in your questions. You use the hashtag AskTMS. We answer them on the air. These have mostly come in today. I'm very excited about many of these. So here they go. Let's start with this question. It's oddly app-related. Samuel Lewis asks, Scott Johnson in Coverville, any Fallout shelter tips? Been having some trouble with mine.
Mm.
Don't screw up like I did and not know that if you adjoin rooms of the same type that they will become one big larger room.
Yeah, I didn't know that until today.
Yeah, that sucks because I could have really helped organize the way I did power rooms and stuff.
Oh, totally. Yes, exactly. I've got rooms scattered all over, and I even started like, I'm going to destroy that room and just join this one so it's a bigger room.
Yeah, so I could use that guy's 2,200 bottle caps at this point.
Right.
So I could afford everything. But it's not too punishing. Like, even if you're running real low on food, it's not like you're going to run out of food and everyone's going to die. You just need to, you know, focus on an area, take some risks with the rushing of things.
Right. You probably already know this, but you can pick up a person and then drag them over every single room to figure out where they're going to be the most beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
I keep a dude in one of the rooms who's the serial pregnator.
Yep.
Impregnator.
Yep. I like that guy.
Just keep dragging women in there and dragging them out.
You can create a real hellscape.
You really can.
In these emotional lives of people without really trying. It's really good though.
I wish there was a family tree on there so I could look back and make sure that there's no cousins mating.
That's a good idea, dude. Because I've had a few babies. I don't want those babies ending right back up with Mr. Sperm Dominator in room one. But that's a really good game. It's fun, and it takes from a lot of these games. Like, there's a little bit of Clash of Clans in there. There's a little bit of Tiny Tower, a little bit of just good old fashioned city management kind of stuff.
Here's what's the best thing about it is the fact that, unlike Tiny Tower, you can actually sit there and watch, you know, go and zoom in on a room and just listen to what these people are saying or read what they're saying to each other. Or even better is when you send somebody out into the wilderness, reading their log, their captain's log.
It's fantastic stuff. You can rename anybody you want. Somebody freaked me out, made me think that the people who make the game put me in it, because there was this guy on a radio on a microphone in a room, and it said Scott Johnson, and he made some comment about broadcasting to everybody or something, and I thought, oh my gosh, does somebody listen? No, it's just a fan renamed his name to Scott Johnson, which is totally funny. But anyway, you can rename everybody you want to. You can make elevators. You can go deep into the rock. You can build a huge settlement inside your vault. And it's also a great way to tease out, you know, Fallout 4 coming and how exciting that'll be. So, yeah.
Yeah, put your strongest defenders with the best weapons closest to the entrance. And don't forget, you can actually upgrade the entrance as well.
Yeah.
To keep the bad dudes out, the raiders out. So,
yeah, it's a delightful little product.
Make it take longer for the raiders to get in.
It's cool that they announced it and released it the same night. The only downside is it is iPad only, no phone, and it is iOS only currently and no Android. So
somebody, I thought it was iPad only as well, but somebody was saying, no, I've got it installed on my phone. It works just great. So
which phone are they? Really?
Yeah, not a 6 Plus.
6 Plus, maybe they
Able to get it on the 6 Plus.
I'm trying to run it here on my 6. No luck. It just says it's designed for the iPad, so I assumed iPad only. There is talk of an Android version, so hold on to your butts. That'll be coming.
So help, that might be happening.
Help, that might be happening. Tina Baker says, would Brian please bring me with him to Japan?
Okay.
Hop in.
Please send me a photo. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Tina's going to be listening to this one in the airplane, and she's going to elbow me when she hears me say that.
Well, here's another Japan question. Peter Fisher says, what would Brian have done with his lost day when heading to Japan? Like, you're going to lose a day. What would you have done with it?
Well, I'll get it back on the way back. What would I have done with that day? It would have been, because Fridays I don't do any podcasts.
Yeah.
So it's purely a production day, freelance production day. Mm-hmm. So I would have worked, I'll tell you exactly, I would have worked on an ad for a brochure for a yacht company.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done an ad that is promoting an app for people who want to reload their child's lunch funding accounts.
Yeah. Wow.
Possibly worked on a Haitian resort website.
Uh-huh. Was it about a king who needs to have his money?
Not Nigerian, okay. Right. Haitian.
Okay. Phew.
And probably would have worked more on Coverville.com. There's some cool stuff happening on Coverville.com.
Yeah, I'm stoked about that stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, then this person asks, which is Halcyon, says, which episode of a TV show gave you the most feels? For me, it was Criminal Minds when Hotchner's wife died. That's what they said. I haven't seen Criminal Minds, so I can't say. But I would say for me, it has was, and probably always will be the Henry Blake episode on MASH.
Yeah, it's really tough not to say that one, right? But yeah,
that one got me.
Oh, you know what? No, I will say, aren't the last episode of the current season, the newest season of Orange is the New Black?
Oh, really?
The very last segment, I thought was so well done. I'm not going to say anything, of course, about it, but
it depends on the feels. Like when you say the feels, I think that Pushing Daisies made me feel ways that TV shows never had before. Mm-hmm. I think I could say the same thing in a very different opposite way of The Leftovers really churned me up in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So it really depends. Lost did that.
Lost did that. Man, and I was Lost trying to really think of an episode of Lost where I felt, you know, really emotional about it. It wasn't as much the last episode, but
it may have been, what was Saeed's girlfriend? What was her name?
Oh, Shannon.
That was hard, dude.
That was really hard. Yeah.
I think Lost has a lot of moments in it. Despite what you may say about the show, it's they were good.
Yeah, the episode where you see how far Jack has fallen before they have to go back to the island. That's a rough one.
That is a rough one.
We've got to go back, Kate.
It's when he was using the Motorola Blade or whatever it was called. And everybody's freaking out because they're like, wait, that's a phone from like 01.
This must take place in the past.
Yeah, I remember there was a big stink about that. Kenny says Pizza Robotics says, Pizza Robotics on Twitter says, do you go for a high five, fist bump, or handshake, or other? What do you do when you see somebody? What's your preferred?
I use all three. Probably the least of which is a high five.
Yeah.
With my bowling team, it's fist bump. Yeah. Oh, dude, nice spare. Boom.
Yeah.
When it's somebody I'm meeting, it's almost always a handshake.
For my daughter and son.
Because I'm a gentleman.
Because you are a gentleman, that's true. For my daughter and son, youngest son and daughter, we have a special handshake that no one else knows that's really hard to copy. So we'll do that in front of people and they'll freak out and wonder how we did it because it's really cool. So I have that with them, but that's not really the normal. I don't think that's really what he's asking here. So for me, it's almost always handshake or fist bump. It's almost never high five. So kind of like you. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time I high five somebody. It sucks to do that.
Yeah. Unless you're putty, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Putty's the man up here, right up here.
I was just responding in the chat room. Freaking Game of Thrones gives me lots of those damn moments.
Yeah, that's true. Awesome. There are different kinds of feels there though.
Yes. And lots of anger feels.
Mostly mad. Yeah. The sadness doesn't kick in as much as the madness does.
Yeah.
Like this last thing. Ugh, damn it.
Yeah.
Although there's some theories though. Sadness. There's some theories, big theories coming up about that, by the way.
Of course there are.
Oh, here we go. Paul Mills says, does Brian keep covers that he doesn't like just to have them for future plays?
I do. Uh-huh. I'm a music hoarder. I don't throw anything out. I've got covers in my library that I don't like at all.
Yeah.
And I think we've even played one or two of them on the show.
I think we have, yeah. Some requests come in and you're just like, well, I only have one thing that... as bad as that is or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And then some of it, you have some that's just so bad it's good, like the Shatner stuff and things
right,
like that.
Right, the Mike Tyson One Night in Bangkok cover.
Yeah. What's that Furlong one?
Edward Furlong.
Yeah, that one's really bad.
I can't even remember what the song was.
I don't either. We talked about it this morning, in fact. I don't remember now.
I'll tell you. But the Crispin Glover, These Boots Are Made for Walking. Oh, People Are Strange is the Edward Furlong one.
You know, if only Coverville.com was soon to have a feature that might be a place I could go and plug in a name or a genre. And...
I know. Hmm. And we almost had that working yesterday. There was one little hitch, but...
I'm excited, dude.
Parts of it are kind of working. Okay. Oh, John's going to get so mad because I...
That's all right. I know he hates that, but that's okay. John, relax, buddy. He was that way with my comic when he was working on that. What else? How about this one? Oh, another music question. Christina Courtney, see Tina Peace Gal. She's always around. She's very nice.
She is. She's great.
Says, Brian and Scott, what are your favorite genres of music? My answer to that would be, I don't know if I have a favorite. I like everything. I like almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there was something.
You have to have a favorite. Like, no, is there a go-to? Like, I know there's different moods require different songs, but is there one genre of music that you tend to go to for most of those moods?
Maybe. Well, is classic rock, like 70s rock, considered a genre? Because
mm-hmm, sure.
I go to that a lot. That's comfort food for me.
Yep.
That and bluegrass, which again is very diverse and different from each other. And mm-hmm, I also like old-timey jazz, as some have noticed on the show. I also like heavy metal. I like grunge.
You like the electronic dance music?
Big time. In fact, so again, it depends on the mood, but I'm usually really cool with like a great driving beat and some great electronica of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really big on, what's the thing? I always forget the name of it.
Dubstep?
Dubstep. I don't like dubstep, yeah. Really.
No, I'm not a big fan of dubstep.
But I like loud, hard, like I like Knife Party and I really like, you know, Chemical Brothers and mm-hmm, freaking Crystal Method and, you know, I like that kind of stuff a lot. So if I had to say, well, what one do I go to the most? Maybe it's that.
Yeah.
But I love everything. I even like country, some of it.
Yeah, I like older country. Not a big fan of new country. For me, Britpop, 80s and 90s, everything from Squeeze and Elvis Costello all the way up through like Blur, Oasis, Stereophonics.
Oasis, what's going on with Oasis these days? What's happening with them?
They've split up.
The brothers don't hang out anymore.
I'm trying to remember Liam's or Noel's new band.
Oh, he has a new band. Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
He does, and he's had a couple since Oasis, right? There was something like what was it? It was I gotta look it up because I can't remember. Sleeping at Last.
Champagne Supernova in the Sky.
There it is. It is High Flying Birds is his current deal. Noel Gallagher.
Okay. He's the one. They're brothers. They were brothers. They don't get along.
Yeah, I don't know what Liam is doing, but Noel Gallagher is doing High Flying Birds. And everything I've heard from it's pretty good.
No. Well, what do you think of this?
It's got kind of a Beatles feel to it.
Well, that's a shock. I'm shocked. Does he wear little round, shaded, cherry shaded glasses when he sings?
Sure, he does, yeah.
Because that's what he always used to.
Everything out.
Well,
yes.
Here's a video. Let's see. Oh, this is an old song.
Today is going to be the day that the
What?
Classic. That's a great one.
I know. I like Oasis. I like, and everything you've mentioned, I like as well. It's really hard for me to pin down a thing where I'm just hooked into that thing.
Sure.
If you asked me in the 80s, I would have said, you know, Metallica. I was really into metal then. Mm-hmm. But you ask me now, and I like a lot of new wave stuff from then. Like Aha, I like... Mm. I don't know, I just like everything. I like 38 Special, for heaven's sakes.
Well, you got to hold on loosely.
Yep.
Hold on loosely. Don't let it go.
Well, another one here. Let's see. I already talked about that, so I don't bring that up. Which is better, a classic or masterpiece, says Stephanie McNeil.
Say that one again?
What is better, a classic or masterpiece? I don't know that
depends. Depends on what you're talking about. That's...
Right, because sometimes they're the same.
Marvel Masterpiece, Cards were great.
Yeah.
Don't know about Marvel Classic.
Okay, how about Coke Classic versus Coke Masterpiece?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're distinct enough. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Because you can make a classic that's also a masterpiece, I think. Also, I don't think there's such a thing as a masterpiece. It's so subjective.
Yeah.
Like, I've never liked that word
anyway.
I think
classic is as well. Although,
yeah, actually, anything you say almost is when you're talking about this is the best of a thing.
Right.
I don't want to do that one. Let's see. Desmodog says, Big Mac or Whopper? Or I would say it depends on my mood, but probably Whopper. Yeah.
They both have their merits, you know.
Yeah,
I kind of like the superfluous bun in the Big Mac.
Yeah, yeah,
and the special sauce.
Yeah, the special sauce.
But a Whopper is just a full on burger. You're not going to make a Big Mac at home,
right? Why would you though?
Why would you?
Yeah, right. You can make some special sauce. How about this one? If you could have one,
you're gonna smell like beef.
If you could have, hi honey, my wife walked in. How you doing? If you could have one skill programmed into you, Matrix style, like jack it into the back of your head and make you know something, what would it be?
Computer programming.
Oh my gosh, that's totally the one I was gonna say.
Okay, then I'll say guitar.
All right, those are both good. Yeah. I've always wanted. I wish if I could really truly program, like program.
Yeah.
The things I would make.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'd be a one-stop machine, but yeah.
I wasn't kidding when I told Corinne the other day that I have a great idea for a mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know where to go with it, but I figure if anybody knows. Well,
the problem is you either go to a programmer who you get lucky and it's somebody who's trustworthy and can be good, and then you kickstart it. Maybe that works out. Maybe it doesn't all fall apart and the guy doesn't leave. Like, there's so many risks to
Listen,
it.
Listen, I still have high hopes that one day you and I are going to come out with that that comic shop Diner Dash game.
I want to do it.
Because I think it's a brilliant, brilliant concept.
When we first had the idea, Kickstarter was not really the thing it is now.
Right.
So maybe, just maybe, it's
in our
future.
Yeah, we need to find a programmer, an app programmer who can put this out on iOS and Android. And
there will be an email. I guarantee emails will start coming in. I can tell you this. If you're going to send us an email, it has to be super rad. We don't want to do anything janky or half-assed.
Right. And we have, we'll work on the sprites. We've got ideas for what they'll look like. We've got ideas for gameplay. All you have to do is program this thing and make it work.
We need mechanics and function and gameplay loop and all that. That's what we need.
Exactly.
We
will give you 5%.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm kidding.
We'll give you a lot more than that.
Why doesn't this ever work, Scott?
Let's see. Answer my questions. If you could have any... Okay, we'll do this last one.
Okay.
If you can have any starship from any universe to explore the galaxy in, which one would you claim?
I feel like we've had this question.
Did we have that one?
Because I think I said the Millennium Falcon.
I may have gone back too far. Yeah, you know what? This is from the 11th. Sorry, that's old.
Help, it's old.
How about this one?
Okay.
The game of Twilight Imperium, full rules, 8 players long, or 3 games of diplomacy with Frog Pants crew? He says, ask Dan for reference.
Oh, we should have done that one with on a Thursday that Dan's here, because I have no idea of either of those games.
I don't know either, but if I had to base it on just what you just said, 3 games of diplomacy probably would be my choice, because that just sounds all right. I don't know enough about Twilight Imperium. Hmm. That sounds like a nerd is going to kill me. But the other one sounds like, oh, I got to be diplomatic. I can do that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you all for your questions. Ask TMS is the hashtag to use. Keep them flowing on Twitter. You don't even have to reply to us. Just ask TMS is the hashtag, and we are happy to check those out and read them on the show. Patreon.com/TMS is where we get your support for this 5th episode a week. And big thanks to everybody for being a big part of it. You can go to our website, frogpants.com/TMS. Our phone number is 801-471-0462. That i710 goat is still there.
Just leave it.
Email. Yeah, maybe we'll just leave it.
Call that number. Oh, no, I guess it wouldn't work.
It won't work, I don't think, because not enough numbers, right?
Not enough numbers, yeah. We need an area code.
What the hell happened there?
710 goat.
I still don't get it. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, Morning Stream. Tomorrow we'll have the instance. Current Geek will be on. You can have Dan Patterson. He's an international tech reporter. He's a gamer, but man, this guy's been to like every corner of the world and seen everything.
Mm.
I'm totally excited to have him on.
Wow.
And
cool.
I think that's it for Friday podcasting. Is there anything else that day? I think that's it. We're done. Brian,
okay. The only connection I could find is that at 710 North 4th Street in Wilmington, North Carolina, there is a bar called The Goat and Compass.
Oh, so that's as close as we've got.
To 710 Goat.
I really don't know where that came from. I don't remember typing it, pasting it, or anything.
Let us go to The Goat and Compass.
And I don't think Jenny would have done it. She has access to the doc, but I don't think so. Well, anyway.
Wasn't me.
Well, I am really thirsty for an energy drink, and it might have an M in its word, and it might remind us of the song you're about to play.
Wow.
It's a terrible transition. Go ahead.
That was horrible.
Oh, yeah. By the way, have a safe trip, and this is the last time he'll TMS before you're in the air.
That's right.
So I hope everything goes well. The planes all function the way they're supposed to. And no drunk Japanese businessmen rush the cockpit.
Wow, thanks.
Remember that? It happened to me. It was horrible.
Yes, I know. Yeah, oh, my God.
On my way to Tokyo. Anyway, go ahead.
Thanks. Jake emailed in and said, hey, Jack and Cornelius, my 60th season on this here Earth, as in 4 seasons a year, I'm 15, do the math, and would love any cover of any song by Paramore, preferably Fences, but I digress. I trust Brian. Obey the Henry, though. Jake from Tejas.
Oh, man, he didn't even ask for the freaking...
Tender Crisp.
The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
He gets it anyway.
All right.
I love that. 4 seasons. Do the math.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This so a cover. I didn't have a cover of Fences, but I did have a cover of Monster by Paramore, covered by Basement Alchemy. This came out in 2012. Basement Alchemy is one of those bands that you see when you do a search on iTunes or Amazon, and you do a search for a song, and you seem to always come across a cover by Basement Alchemy. Yeah. However, unlike, and I can't even think of the other one that always seems to come up, Something Street. Yeah, I can't even remember. Unlike them, Basement Alchemy does some amazing transformations of songs. It's not just sound-alike covers that you can use to get away from copyright violations. Mm. Basement Alchemy, from their 2012 album, Covers from the Basement, and a cover of Paramore's Monster.
Sweet. We'll see you guys next Tuesday and on the feed with some extra stuff from Japan. So come on back. Yay. For that. We'll see you then.
Sayonara.
Sayonara. Sake. Karaoke.
You are my conscience, so solid now you're like water. We started drowning, not like we'd sink any further, but I'll let my heart go. It's somewhere down at the bottom.
Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Doody doody doo.
Yeah, there you go.